I told you guys to invest in pure Russian rainwater. Some of you guys are out there investing in crypto, losing it all on sketchy exchanges. That's your choice. That's your prerogative. I was worried, I was concerned, and evidently it was all for nothing. Last week I was worried, guys. But based on the events that I saw, I can say without a doubt that it appears Americans have not lost their minds completely. And thank God for that. There weren't any riots and nobody got hurt. I was worried last week that we would see a repeat of what we saw at the Capitol on January 6th. I was concerned. I was concerned for America as a country. We're very divided, and I was worried that there would be riots and looting. And yes, I anticipated long lines of teenagers and elderly clogging up our city streets. I'm not talking, guys, about the election. I'm talking about the McDonald's announcement that the McRib would possibly be disappearing forever. We're 2 weeks into a 3-week American experiment that we like to call the McDonald's farewell tour. That's what it's going by. McDonald's says that if you don't get it now, you might never get it again. And I anticipated riots. I thought that we would have teenagers lined up around the block for miles for their first and last taste of a McRib. I was fearful that people would take to the streets and take this seriously, and that we would have a rush on McDonald's like we haven't seen in years. Like we haven't really seen since they pulled out of Russia and the Russians all flocked to McDonald's to get their last little taste, that last little bit of Filet-O-Fish before it's gone forever. And now America's faced with the same problems that the Russians went through. The McRib could disappear forever. People are freaking out. The beloved sandwich will be available on the fast food chain's menu through November 20th, so make your plans now. You still have a few days. It pays to listen to this podcast when it comes out. Otherwise, you might miss out on the McRib. Fuck me. The McRib is returning to McDonald's for what the restaurant chain teases. They're teasing. Might be the last time. According to a description on the Fast Food Giant's website, the legendary sandwich is filled with boneless pork coated in barbecue sauce and topped with slivered onions and tart dill pickles on a hoagie-style bun, is going on a, quote, McRib farewell tour this year, remaining at participating locations through November 20th. So get it now or don't get it at all. I've never had one. I don't know if I've ever had a McRib, certainly not as an adult. Get one. It says get one while you can, because this is the McRib farewell tour, the listing reads. Quote, enjoy our famous pork sandwich as if it's your last! End quote. God damn, I took that as a threat when I read that. I said, I've never had one. It would be my last, more than likely, because if I've lived my entire life so far without having a McRib, I could eat one now and theoretically go another 30 years without having one. I'm sure I could. But I did panic a little bit, and I said last week, I'm not worried about the election. I'm really not. We're not going to have a repeat of, like, we're not going to have widespread voter fraud or any of that bullshit. I'm concerned about the drive-through lines across America. When they overflow into the streets, that would be, drive-through lines from the McRib farewell tour overflow into the streets and prevent the voters from getting to their polling place to vote. And then we have a huge fucking issue. And the people that do make it, they're casting ballots covered in barbecue sauce. We have a whole other Florida hanging Chad situation on our hands because a majority of the ballots handed in are covered in barbecue sauce. It would have been madness, but luckily we averted that dangerous situation. But we have another dangerous situation quickly approaching. Black Friday, guys. And I think it's time that we acknowledge that there was a period of time right before the internet shopping kicked in where Black Friday shopping was as dangerous as a day as you could have anywhere on this planet. More dangerous than war-torn areas. You think the Donbass region in Ukraine, controlled by Russia right now, you think that region is dangerous? The old-school Black Friday shopping put that to shame. 3,000 people might have died on 9/11, but shit, we lost track of how many died on Black Friday shopping. We lost track. The area inside the store, right behind the greeter where it opens up, you know, right after you get your cart, that area right there, that brief open space that you have before you enter a store that's cluttered with a lot of shit, that brief open space, we've lost thousands to trampling accidents there on Black Friday morning. Some of you younger people, you don't realize what it was like before the internet came along. It was war. It was a battlefield conditions. People standing in line all night. People shitting themselves just so they don't have to get out of line. There were people pissing and shitting themselves on sidewalks all across this nation because they wanted to score a deal. A deal on a television, and God bless them for it, but we had men and women shitting themselves. And that area right inside the store where it opens up, you know how they wax it a lot? They overwax it. And you would, a lot of people were like, yeah, they overwax it because there's so much foot traffic right there. That's not the reason why. It's to make sure that if there's another trampoline accident, the blood comes up just a little bit easier. We need a fresh coat of wax on the floor in case we have another trampoline incident here. And don't even get me started on with the, when the HD flat screens came out. When the HD flat screens came out, all bets were off. It was 2004. And you would have pushed your mother down a set of stairs just to get to a flat screen TV. I don't remember the exact year, but somewhere around 2004, you would have pushed your mother down the stairs of the Empire State Building just to get a little taste of a flat screen. You would have done anything. You would have given up your firstborn in line outside just to jump 10 spots forward. People were trading their children, engaged in child trafficking while simultaneously shitting themselves on the sidewalk outside of the big box stores. That was 2004. That's when I grew up, and that was a dangerous fucking time. And then the internet shopping really kicked in, and thankfully, it's not like it used to be. You can probably now risk it. But there was a time when I wouldn't have gone in anything other than a Kevlar vest with a shield and maybe a bucket so I could sit down and take a shit while I'm standing in line to score a good price on a flat screen TV. Black Friday, the most dangerous day in American history. We'll be right back.
Thank you for calling Pure Russian Rainwater. It's a great day to be Russian. Try the new camouflage cans of Pure Russian Rainwater, now available everywhere you buy water. This is Jessica speaking. How may I help you?
Jesus Christ. Jessica, this is John from the I Can't Complain podcast.
Hey, John, how we doing?
I'm pretty good. Do you have to say that every time you answer the phone?
Yeah, I do. That's a mandate. That comes from Mr. Rainwater himself.
Okay, can I actually speak to Mr. Rainwater? I didn't get a script for this week's show. I don't have an advertisement read. I never received it.
Yeah, that's going to be a little difficult. He's having a rough day. You know, he was born without eyebrows and an ass crack, so he's in a bad mood today.
He was born without eyebrows and an ass crack. No, I didn't know that. I need you to patch me through, though. I need a script.
Yeah, hold on just a second. I'll try and put you through to him. We'll see if he's in there. I haven't seen him all morning. I'm pretty sure he's been out late at night hanging around.
We appreciate your patience during this brief delay. Please know that we are working as fast as possible to return to your important call.
Never in my life have I heard about anyone ever being born without ass cheeks. I guess it's just one giant cheek. I don't know how that works.
Thank you for calling. Please continue to hold.
One giant cheek. No eyebrows. Is that genetic? I don't know how that works. Oh yeah, we've been on hold with this company before. Last time I lost my mind. I'm not going to lose my mind this time.
In just a moment.
I'm not going to go crazy.
Hey, John, you still there?
Yep, just patiently waiting. What'd you find out, Jessica? You couldn't find him?
It looks like he rolled away. We got a bit of a situation over here now. It's rainy today, and sometimes he'll fall out of his chair and end up in the canal downhill. Because he doesn't have any cheeks to stop his momentum. This is an emergency. It's a Pure Russian Rainwater emergency.
Oh, fuck me. It's a Pure Russian Rainwater emergency. I guess I'm going to have to go to the backup script then, probably.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. You should do the when I was a young boy growing up in Russia, that backup script.
Friends, when I was a young boy growing up in Russia, my mother brought me home from the hospital after giving birth and offered me the breasts. And I denied the breasts. She frantically ran to the store. She bought almost everything in stock. sodas, juices, milks. She didn't even know what an infant really can consume and what they can't consume. She tried everything. She brought home hard liquor. I wouldn't touch any of it. Frantically, she went to the last store in town, and she found something on the shelf. Something we've kept in our home ever since. She brought it home to a young boy named John. I'm that boy. I'm the boy that needed pure Russian rainwater from day one. She brought home a can of pure Russian rainwater, and I enjoyed it. It nourished me with life. I denied the teat of my own mother. I denied the teat of my own mother. And I chose pure Russian rainwater. So if I can choose pure Russian rainwater, you can choose pure Russian rainwater too. It's the dictator's choice since 1997. It's 96% pure. It's everything you want in a can of water and more. Here's a live testimonial from when I was on the battlefield just a few weeks ago. From a Russian soldier. Listen to what he had to say.
Have you had the pure Russian rainwater yet?
To be honest, I haven't tried that shit yet.
There you have it. There you have it. It's a testimonial from a Russian soldier. What more do you need? He hasn't tried the shit yet, but he will. He has every intention to try pure Russian rainwater. You should have that intention as well. Pick up a case anywhere you buy your Russian shit. I don't know. I don't know where you buy this. They've never told me. Breaking news story now out of the Wall Street Journal. I had to run to my window and throw open the curtains and yell to the neighbors to let them know that a bombshell has been dropped on the Wall Street Journal. Why Mark Wahlberg wakes up at 3:30 a.m. And we've been wondering this for years. It's been the number one question on most of our minds. We know that he wakes up at 3:30 a.m. But why? Why would you wake up at 3:30 a.m.? It says the actor and businessman follows an intense regimen that starts before sunrise, but he's dialed back his workouts. Now I'm all about intermittent fasting, he says, so that they didn't actually answer the question of why he wakes up at 3:30 a.m. other to work out and not eat. Well, Mark Wahlberg has recently, and a lot of famous people have recently discovered intermittent fasting. I've done intermittent fasting against my will. I've done intermittent fasting when I was too broke. When I was too broke. And I could only afford to eat once a day. I've done intermittent fasting. It's not a whole lot of fun. It's really not. And now they think it's cute. They've all discovered it. And Mark Wahlberg's discovered intermittent fasting. And I'd read the rest of the story, but they want me to sign. No, there we go. He says, I don't have to do as much cardio. I don't have to spend time in the gym. I feel like I'm getting better results. I'm trying to share that information with everybody because I'm really, really seeing the benefits pretty quickly. Mark Wahlberg, what time do you get up on Mondays? And what's the first thing you do after waking up? And this is the question we've all been wondering. So in his own words, he says, on average, it's about 3:30 or 4 a.m. if I'm home and in my routine. I always start with a little bit of prayer time. And then I take my vitamins. I used to eat breakfast. Now I'm all about intermittent fasting. I don't eat. I just go to a workout. That's it. Now the question's been answered. And now... who really cares? I mean, even fans of Mark Wahlberg, really, who gives a shit what he does before dawn? I'm only interested in what you put out on the screen, if that. I'm not interested if you're eating breakfast or not, but I'm glad that you've discovered intermittent fasting. I did intermittent fasting for years, sometimes by myself and sometimes with my friends. One of those friends I intermittent fasted with was Cole when we were broke as shit. He's been on the show a couple times. Shit, we went to his wedding. I was there when the man got married. I was also there when we were going hungry on a weekly basis. And I can tell you this. Intermittent fasting is not a whole lot of fun. But Cole, he's bounced back from intermittent fasting. And this man is considering buying a golf cart now. Yes, you heard that right. My friend Cole is considering buying a golf cart. And when I first heard this, I was with him. And I said, this is the epitome of laziness. Now, bear in mind, guys, this is a cart designed for a golf course. And even golfers that are in shape or playing professionally do not use it. This is basically a handicap accessory for the golf course. And he's trying to take it off the golf course. He's trying to get a golf cart just so he can ride around the neighborhood with his wife and kids. It's a lazy man right there. This is it's the laziest man I know. And I tried to tell him, don't do this. Don't do this. It's really white. It's a super white thing to do. Only a white man with a white wife and a white kid would ever consider buying a golf cart to cruise around the neighborhood. Also, I accuse this of being beach lifestyle. This is some beach lifestyle shit. This is ride around in a Hawaiian shirt and a straw hat type of behavior. This is not something I condone. It really isn't. And I had to sit down and I had to examine my relationship with the man. And I had to determine, I had to ask myself whether I could be friends with somebody that I could potentially see out riding around on a golf cart through a white residential neighborhood. And the answer that I came up with was no. So you'll never hear Cole on the show again because I can no longer associate with this man riding around on a golf cart like he's fucking in charge of mall security or some shit. I guess it does mean his marriage is in a pretty good place, though. You don't get a golf cart if your marriage is on the rocks. This is just me speaking now. But if I was married and I was thinking about getting divorced in any time in the near future, I wouldn't buy a golf cart because that's a family man right there. That's really why I'm having a heart. I've known this man for years now, and I've never known him to be a family man. And now, just because he has a kid, he's treating his family like this. He's riding around in golf carts. Some sort of a gold-plated golf cart chariot. Is that what he's going after here? I don't know what he's thinking, but I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And you know what? I asked him. When I told him this was the epitome of laziness, the poor bastard, he argued with me. The poor bastard argued with me, and he said it's not. He said it's not. It's for convenience. And then I said, let me ask you this. If I got you a bicycle, and we put a... with a child seat on the back, because he wants to be able to ride his kid around, right? If we get you a bicycle with a child seat on the back, would you get on that bike and pedal your kid around? I said, be honest with me. He said, no, I wouldn't do that. And that's when I said, yes, sir. And exactly right there. I could get you a bicycle and you're not interested. Not interested in the least. But I get you a nice golf cart so you can cruise around in comfort and not have to get off your ass and do anything. And suddenly you're interested. I text him and he said he almost bought one 2 days ago. He's on the brink of buying a golf cart. And I'm on the brink of losing a friend. Cole, if you're listening to this, I'm willing to end our friendship over this. Don't buy a golf cart. Don't do this. Don't take that step. Don't step off the ledge. Don't become a white man living in a residential neighborhood that never leaves it and just cruises around on a golf cart with a straw hat and a Hawaiian shirt on all day. And shorts that are way too revealing. That's the mental image I'm getting. Where he's wearing some nut huggers, riding around, open Hawaiian shirt, straw hat on. He picks up a pipe habit, and he's just riding around the neighborhood doing surveillance. And as you get older, you kind of expect your friends to possibly get married and have kids and go through a early midlife crisis. But I'll tell you what, nothing prepares you for potentially seeing one of your friends ride around on a golf cart. I'll see you guys next Tuesday. Bye. Thanksgiving episode next Tuesday, by the way.
Fuck John.
Fuck John. You won't want to miss that. We're going to stuff a turkey live here on the air.
Dry.
Dry. We're not actually going to do that.
Be the next Tucker fucking Carlson. Rush Limbaugh, John. I think you could.
I'm going to go elbow deep to stuff a turkey live here on the air next Tuesday. You won't want to miss that. Tell all your friends.
I think you could.
Let's do the annual turkey stuffing next Tuesday here on the show. What an incredible use of the audio medium. Something so visual as stuffing a turkey. Fuck it, we'll do it. I'm not even cooking a turkey this year for Thanksgiving, so basically next week we'll stuff a turkey, I'll be elbows deep, and then I'll take it outside to the trash and throw it away. What do you think about that? Happy Thanksgiving. It's 3 days before Thanksgiving and my neighbors just see me throwing a turkey away. Like, fuck, he's already given up on the holiday. Goddamn. Like I would have to get in the spirit and go buy like all camo gear, maybe even buy a weapon, and then I could go to the grocery store, buy me and buy a turkey. But it would feel like I've prepared to hunt, even though I'm not hunting my own turkey this year. And then I could come home and thaw it out, and 3 days later we could stuff it And then after I stuff it, I'm going to go inside to the large dumpster on my parking lot. I'm going to throw where it belongs in the trash. You know why? You know, I'm not a big fan of turkey. I'm not even a big fan of Thanksgiving anymore. I'm not a big fan of holidays. I'm not... I ran out of time to complain anymore.
Do you love me?
Do I love you? We just met a couple of minutes ago. For all I know, you might be a pot-smoking, jaded, wild-eyed, radical dropout.
I am a pot-smoking, jaded, wild-eyed, radical dropout.
I love you.